Last week I mentioned to you the number of people who die every single day. And I broke those numbers down for you into hours and minutes as well. The number's quite staggering. And certainly they should cause us to take notice, and rightfully so, because sometimes those numbers come pretty close to home. Cindy and I were coming home from our daughter Abby's 2 weekends ago. It was a Saturday, probably around the 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock hour. And our daughter Abby lives in Neosho, and so we were coming up Highway 49 towards the north. And just around the Jasper area, as we're traveling, we're seeing all kinds of emergency lights on the side of the road up ahead. And so we slow down. The traffic comes to a crawl in that particular area. There were probably 5 or 6 emergency vehicles there. I noticed them on the left shoulder of the highway. And as we got closer, as we came right up on those emergency vehicles, I saw something probably that I won't ever forget. I saw a tennis shoe in the middle of the road. I thought, what? And then it hit me. I wonder, do we have a motorcycle accident here? And sure enough, as we crawled past those emergency vehicles, there were a number of attendants right there on the side of the road, a man laying face down. He'd had a motorcycle accident. His motorcycle was about 50 feet on up the road. And it all can happen so fast and so unexpectedly. I didn't know this guy, obviously, but I have to tell you, it hit pretty close to home. Because I ride a motorcycle. And it was a very sobering moment for me as I saw that. And I was prompted, of course, to pray for him. I wanted to cry for him. And I wanted to cry for his family who would be receiving this news. It was a heart-wrenching scene. And sometimes, though it's somebody that we know, these numbers, you just cannot have them like that day in and day out, that it doesn't sometimes come pretty close to you. Somebody that you love, somebody that you know dearly. And that's why we must help people get to know the Savior, Jesus. I said it last week, it all depends on what we have done with Jesus. At that moment of death, He will be all that matters. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men. And so we need to get to know Jesus, and we need to make sure that those around us are getting to know Jesus, that we help them get to know Jesus, and that we help them be prepared for eternity. People will say, yes, I know that's what I should be doing. But I don't know that I'll know what to say to people. I may say the wrong thing. I crossed paths with a fella this last week in the eye doctor's office. And this fella is somebody that I always get a laugh out of when I see him. You will never cross paths with Raymond Barker that he doesn't have a joke to tell you. And so I hadn't seen Raymond in a while, and I went up to him. I shook his hand. His wife, Marie, was right there next to him, and I started talking to him. And I said, Raymond, I miss your jokes. And that then prompted him to begin telling me his joke for the day. He said this couple was getting ready for bed. The woman was looking in the mirror. She's studying herself. She turned to her husband and said, I just feel that I'm getting older and looking older. I look in the mirror and I see my hair turning gray. My skin's not as soft as it used to be. I have blotches. My cheeks are puffy. My eyelids are drooping. In fact, I think everything's drooping. What do you think? She said. Do you have something positive to say about me? And he looked at her and he said, well, at least there's nothing wrong with your eyesight. Yeah, sometimes we say the wrong things, don't we? Even in our witnessing to people, we can say the wrong things. But you know what I have found through the years? That God can use us anyway, in spite of our blunders. Jesus can use us in spite of our blunders. When we are weak, He is strong. And we have been talking about evidences for the faith over these last 3 weeks. And this sermon series originally had been planned to be just 2 weeks long, but as we got into that second week, I thought, you know, there is so much more that needs to be said than what has been said already. And so the Lord was prompting me to go further than 2 weeks with this particular series on evidences. And I really feel like the Holy Spirit was leading in that decision. And this is what we have talked about to this point. That the fact that science contributes, or it gives good support to our faith. And archaeology gives good support to our faith. The moral values that we have within us points towards a common creator. Number four, the resurrection of Jesus gives validity to the faith. And I have said to you each week that the resurrection is the number one evidence for Christianity. If He didn't raise from the dead, we're wasting our time this morning. If He didn't raise from the dead, we don't have anything solid to hold on to. I mean, we're just fools to meet together like this. If He didn't raise from the dead, that's all a part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what Paul is writing there about the resurrection. But Paul says, He did raise up from the dead. And because of that, we have hope and we have reason for confidence in what we believe. And if He did raise from the dead, then we better give attention to Him. We better hear what He has to say. Number five, the fact that lives are being changed for the better, that gives validity to the faith. Number six, last week we talked about the Bible itself, that it is reliable. There are so many manuscripts, and we talked about the fact there are more than 24,000 manuscripts that have been found through archaeology that give support, and they tell us that this book is it's reliable. It's what we have in our hands is what the original writers were writing. And there's an article back at the Welcome Center. If you didn't pick up a copy of that article, please do that. Read it. It will be very helpful to you. And I want to continue this morning talking about evidences for the faith. The fact that we have reason to believe that what our Christianity is, it's something that we can trust to be true. And I just want to mention to you about the good sense that Christianity makes. Number seven here, I have it listed. Christianity is reasonable. Let that sink in for a moment. Christianity is reasonable. And I will give support to that statement as we move along in this sermon. But I will forewarn you that as we get further along into the sermon, I'm going to say to you that there is so much in Christianity that is unreasonable. And you go, what? I mean, that almost sounds like a contradiction. You're saying Christianity is reasonable, and then you're going to tell me Christianity is unreasonable. What are you talking about? Well, it's almost like we have an asterisk next to this phrase. Christianity is reasonable. And then you see that asterisk, and as with any other time, if you're reading a paper or a book and there's an asterisk, you can go down and check what that asterisk is. It's reasonable to a point. And then you have to take things by faith. And so there is a delicate balance here that you have to be willing to accept. And so as we get started here with the body of this sermon, let me begin by saying Christianity is reasonable. And I'm thinking primarily of creation, the explanation of how we got here and the masterpiece that we are, and the wonder of this world points to the fact that there is a creator. Do you really think all of this could happen by chance? Oh, and or that we are the result of a big bang? I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? Would you allow me to use the word stupid? It's stupidity at its best. For as smart as mankind can be in some ways, we can be really stupid in other ways. We're pretty smart. And I meant to bring my phone up here. We're pretty smart in creating a device, a cell phone, that we can talk into, and somebody on the other side of the world can hear us within just a flash. They can hear what we're saying, and then they can talk back to us, and we can communicate with one another. Somebody really, really, really smart created that phone. A whole lot smarter than me. I mean, we're pretty smart in that we can, whoever created a computer, and the computer can do a lot of different things, but one of the things that just blows my mind is we can type a message into that computer, and we can push send, and somebody far removed from us can receive that message into their inbox, and all they have to do is push a button to receive that message and to be able to read it, and then they can do the same thing on the other end. They can type a reply, and we can communicate with people anytime and anywhere at an incredible rate of speed. We can be a pretty smart people. And at least some of us are that way, and the rest of us, and I lead the list in this, I'm the benefactor of other people's smartness. And honestly, it doesn't take a lot to amaze me. I remember several years ago, my wife had convinced me that I needed to get hearing aids. My hearing is awful. And I thank my mom for that. I inherited it from her. Her hearing was awful. And Cindy, I mean, she had to just repeat and repeat and repeat everything that she was saying. And I know it was getting so wearisome to her. I couldn't hear things. You know, and I'd be in a meeting, and I couldn't hear half of what was going on, and that was wearisome to a lot of people. I had to have the TV turned way up and the radio turned way up, and so I went to the hearing aid specialist, and he put hearing aids in my ears, and it was like, whoa! Oh my goodness, I can hear you. And you know, that was pretty amazing to me, and I do hear my wife better. She would say, you still don't hear me very good. But you know, I'm here, and she's talking like this, and hearing aids don't help with that, but I'm pretty easily amazed at how smart people can be, and yet we can be so dumb to think that this world could happen through a big bang, or that we could happen by chance. Tell me, please, what normally is the result of a big bang, an explosion? It's certainly not orderliness. It's certainly not things, you know, to being held together. No, when there is an explosion, there is chaos and destruction. All you have to do is go back to 9/11 and see that. Or take a look at the pictures of what's going on over in the Middle East, or Russia and Ukraine, and the wars that are going on in those parts of the world. You see that bombs and cruise missiles and big bangs, they're producing destruction and chaos. They are not producing orderliness. So how could we think that this world that has so much orderliness to it could be produced by a big bang? I get up every morning. Most every morning I'm up before the sun is up. And the sun comes up at a predictable time. And it runs its course, so to speak, in the sky, and then it sets at a very predictable time. And yes, I know it's not the sun that is moving. Rather, it's the earth that is moving and rotating at an incredible speed. Take a look at this next picture. I guess we're not getting there, what I had on the phone, but it was showing the rotation of the earth on its axis. Do you know the earth rotates at a speed of 67,000 miles an hour? And I'm wondering, why in the world are we not being projectiled off of the earth into space? And why are we not so dizzy that we can't even stand up? And yet it's all a God thing. And you know that the earth is positioned at just the right distance from the sun so that we can enjoy life as we know it. If we were any closer at all to the sun, we would burn up. If we were any further away from the sun, we would freeze to death. And the oxygen level is just right for us to exist. And then there are the galaxies and the stars and the moon affecting the tides of the oceans. This kind of orderliness does not happen from a big bang. This here, this next picture, that's what happens from a big bang. That was after the Hiroshima bomb. That's what happens, is the result of a big bang. And we could talk on and on about the human body. This is a truth that I have been baffled by through the years. Did you know that we have over 60,000 miles of blood vessels in our body? And if all of those blood vessels were put end to end, they could wrap 2.5 times around the earth. That's in your body. You talk about a creator You talk about an intricate design of our body. It could never happen by chance. And so why is mankind all messed up in his thinking? Yeah, I'm talking about mankind as a whole. Otherwise, if we were not messed up in our thinking, we would be falling on our knees in repentance to God and brokenness and crying out to him in desperation if we had, as a whole, correct thinking. But instead, we're messed up in our thinking. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we have chosen to be our own boss. We have intentionally denied that which is obvious to us, and we have denied it for so long that we don't even know what the truth is. We're blinded to the truth. And that's what Scripture says. Let me read to you. This is a rather long passage of Scripture, but I hope that you'll hear the message. Chapter 1 of Romans, verses 20 through 32, and this is from the New Living Translation. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Do you sense what that's saying? All you got to do, look at the galaxies, look at the stars, look at the creation of God, and you know there's a creator. That's a truth that he's put within us. That goes back to point number 3, the intrinsic moral values that we have. We can look at creation around us, and we know without a doubt there is a creator. And yet, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who's worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Now, tell me, is that a picture of society today? Yes, it is. And it all started by mankind intentionally denying the Savior, the Creator, so that he could be his own God. Mankind did not want to submit to God's ways. You understand, if we acknowledge that there is a Creator, if we acknowledge that there is a God who is over us, then we have to obey him. And mankind says, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to obey him. I don't want him over me. I don't want him telling me what to do, how to live my life. I want to live life the way I want to live it. Therefore, mankind was driven to that point of, by his own rebellion, he's saying, there is no God. And that then allows him to be his own God and do his own thing. But believe me, there's a day of accountability coming. We have that free choice. We can make that decision to be our own God, to be our own boss, but there is a day of accountability coming. You get on that downward spiral that I just described to you, it leads us into depravity and total ignorance to the point that so much of mankind, they can't even know what the truth is because they're blinded by their sin. All of that said, Christianity just makes more sense. It's more reasonable. It's more reasonable to believe that there is a God who is far greater and smarter and more powerful than we are, and that he was able to create this world with the spoken word, just as it says in the book of Genesis. And because he is God and we are not God, he is to be revered and obeyed. And so, yes, Christianity is more reasonable, but let me say too, there's a lot in Christianity that is totally unreasonable. The virgin birth, walking on water, calming the storm, the dead being raised up, these things, we have no explanation for them. And we have to take it on faith. And it sounds unreasonable. It goes against the natural laws. And yet, God is bigger. God is smarter. God is more powerful. And we have to take some things on faith. We believe that he created the world, but we don't understand how he did it. We believe that he spoke the worlds into existence, because that's what the Bible says. He says, let there be light, and there was light. I cannot explain that to you. You can't explain it to me. It sounds unreasonable. It's more than what our brains can grasp. And yet, tell me, if God were to be understood completely, he'd have to be in a tiny box about that big, wouldn't he? So that we could explain him. But that's not who our God is. He is so much bigger. He's so much greater. He's so much more powerful than what we can even imagine. We cannot fully explain him. We can't understand him. But we accept him by faith. We accept by faith that his ways are right. And he is on the throne. And he will have the last say. We accept by faith that he hears us when we pray and that he is with us 24/7. We accept by faith that He is going to provide for us. We accept by faith that He will forgive us of our sins when we ask, and we repent of those sins, then they're gone. We're born again, the Scripture says. We accept by faith that He can take any bad situation that we are in and help us find good in that situation. We accept by faith that He loves us in spite of our unloveliness. We accept by faith that He adopts us as His children when we say yes to Jesus. And we accept by faith that He is going to come again and take us to heaven. And what glory that will be. It will be a day that we cannot even imagine, as we sung about earlier. And so, Christianity is reasonable. And yet, yes, there are some things that are totally unreasonable because they are beyond reason. He is beyond reason, and we accept Him by faith. Because His track record is perfect, and there's no reason to doubt Him. Are you sure of your place in heaven? You can be through Jesus. Put your faith in Him, repent of your sins, be baptized into Him, and choose to trust Him with your life and live for Him till He comes and takes you home to heaven with Him. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for being bigger than what we can understand, than what we can explain. Thank you that you are God and we are not. And you are in control and we are not. And you have us in the palms of your hands. Thank you. Lord, for anyone not in Christ, would you help them move in their heart? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.